We just this past Sunday visited the one and only Elevation Church in Charlotte, North Carolina, and we heard the myth, the legend, Stephen Furtick. And guys, we're going to share our very honest thoughts because we've talked about him several times on this channel. So we actually saw him in person. Also, Kat Von D has been all up in the news, getting baptized, and then 2 days ago, like super fresh, on the Allie B. Stuckey podcast, where she addressed a number of things, including her kind of continued, what would we call it?
Journey?
Yes.
Revelation?
Her continued image of kind of like the dark horror. And she got into some really interesting stuff. So we got a few clips from that I think that this is going to evoke some very, very interesting conversation. Let's talk about it.
But first, get cozy with the blankie and your drink.
I'm going to get cozy by kicking the old socks off.
Oh, no. Say a prayer for me.
Oh. That is, you know what? That's unnecessary. I'm your husband, babe.
And? No, that is pure evil.
Oh. I had my hair perfect.
That's just pure evil. That was that honestly, thank you.
I deserve that. I'm not even going to ask the chat, did I deserve Morgan messing up my hair with my sock? I did deserve that. I apologize for flicking it on you.
Forgive you.
All right. How we doing, guys? Welcome. So, Kat Von D. No, wait. No, we're going to start off with Elevation.
Oh, boy.
We were in Charlotte. We had actually on Friday night, we were there for some business. On Friday night, we had actually attended a church that a friend wanted us to go to that was very deliverance heavy. We're not going to get into that one today.
It was literally a deliverance service. So, of course, it was deliverance heavy.
It was a freedom service. We may actually allude to it a little bit.
We may?
We might. We'll see. Sunday rolls around, and Morgan, you are the one. What popped into your head to get you to suggest Elevation?
I saw that we were literally 5 minutes down the road from Elevation, and I was like, okay, we've made several videos, a couple, just on maybe like something that Stephen Furtick has said in a sermon, his son's music that he released. So I was like, you know, if we have the opportunity to go and experience the whole sermon service for ourselves, we definitely should.
You posted the first Instagram story of us pulling up to the parking lot and the Elevation sign was out there. And then I posted us walking in the door, a little story. And we started getting messages quickly of like,
very quick,
of like, guys, can you please share your thoughts on this? So I'm actually, I think this will be fun. So we get there a half hour early. We walk in the door and the lines are already growing.
Yeah.
And what do we see? The first thing we hear is the main auditorium is full. No one else allowed in the auditorium. Everyone has to sit in overflow.
Dun,
and
dun, dun.
Immediately we're like, oh man, we were wanting to get the full experience so that we could talk about it from the full experience. And then guess what happens, you guys? Just a stroke of total blessing.
It was wild.
A girl that worked there as a greeter comes up and says, I recognize you guys. Let's go.
Woo-woo!
She had seen our channel and she says, let me see what I can do. She ends up getting us inside. She finds us the seats. VIP, baby.
Actually, they were like, they're VIP, right? Because they call like the first time visitors VIP. It wasn't because we're YouTubers, sadly. No, I'm just kidding.
No, I think there was a little of it. Maybe.
No.
She knew us.
Well, yeah, she gave us the VIP service, maybe. But like the other guy was like, well, they're VIP anyway. So we got to find them. We'll find them a spot.
All right. Well, shout out to Celeste. Her name was Celeste.
They also got a picture of me worshiping. She sent it to me.
Which is a little weird. But no, we seriously, we want to break this down and give our honest thoughts. Whenever we talk about something like this, like seriously, my heart, you know, I want to be honest. I think that honest critique of mega church pastors, of people that are very much in the spotlight, is helpful for the body of Christ when done well. But I still have a sobriety about me that I think we should, because there are, you know, there are so many people on their faith journeys, different places on their faith journeys, going, attending, And actually, we talked to the lady that we were staying with in Charlotte. She said she actually got saved at Elevation and doesn't go there anymore. But anyway, so we get in there. Worship starts. Morgan, how did you feel about the worship before we get into Stephen Furtick?
Well, one of the worship leaders, I was like, why do I recognize her? And it's because we had used a picture of her in one of our thumbnails, not even talking about Elevation or anything. What was the topic even?
It was women worship leaders.
Oh.
Which got a surprising amount of spicy responses, but we're not going there. Wild. Right now.
Yeah, but anywho, we just used a random picture of a worship leader. We didn't know who it was. Well, apparently it's a worship leader at Elevation. Her name is Tiffany Hudson, and she was leading. Her voice was beautiful.
Her voice was very, very nice.
Yeah. And yeah, worship was fun. It was a fun time. I was out there dancing, hopping around.
I did record a little bit. I put it on my Instagram. I don't want to play it now just in case Elevation's really... tied on not letting their music go out there on YouTube, but I do have two clips of Furtick. Yeah, the worship, if nothing else, it was fun. it was spot on. It was energetic, just super talented songs. Are we going to critique the songs a little bit just based off of kind of where we've been on our faith journeys? You guys know that have followed us here. We used to be maybe more in that camp. Now, we maybe aren't jamming as much to Elevation.
Yeah, it's interesting because, we used to be super loose and open with the worship music that we listened to. Then, we started questioning everything that we were listening to. And now, I feel like I'm kind of getting to a place where I'm like, all right, I'm going to listen to, especially, I listen to the radio a lot, and all I listen to is K-Love or Air One.
Ugh. Bless you, child. Bless you, child.
But some of the stuff on there is decent, and the reason I do it is because Luca just loves music. And so, a bunch of their songs come on, and I'm just like, these aren't that bad. Whatever.
Oh, wow. So that should be your criteria. These aren't that bad.
I don't think that they're going to lead me astray.
In the live chat right now, before we start getting into a little more critiquing, specifics, how do you feel about Elevation worship?
Yeah, it's very hyped, as people are saying in the comments. It's
just
definitely
gives,
hyped.
Oh, it was hyped. It was hyped. The energy was flowing, baby.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I hear what you're saying. I think some people can go overboard.
Yeah. And it's I ain't trying to go overboard.
I can worship the Lord to this song.
Right.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I can.
All the songs that they played, I was like, I can worship. There was one line in their most popular one called Praise. No, He Won't Fail. I don't know what it's called. Blessed Assurance.
Blessed Assurance.
Yes, that one.
Jesus is mine.
And it was
mine.
The bridge is I called to the Lord and he heard, he answered. That's why I trust him. I don't know how it goes at all. But I didn't love that line just because it's okay, but what if God never answers you? Are you not going to trust him? But that's just me being nitpicky.
Fair enough. Fair enough. They're riding in. We'll get to kind of your all's thoughts on it here in a minute. Furtick comes out. I was thinking, just based off of maybe clips I've seen, that he would come out to music. He runs out on stage, music just starts, the keys.
Which he did walk out while they were still singing.
He walked out while they were still singing, but it wasn't the crescendo came down and he was coming out like a Tony Robbins conference.
That did not happen.
And I actually appreciated that.
Yeah. No, totally.
Guys,
he is short. Okay.
Oh,
I did not know that.
Here's the thing.
He is a short man.
If you guys have paid attention to Stephen Furtick and Elevation, he's on the cutting edge, if you will, of fashion.
Oh, okay. We don't want to come at him and his
No, 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 no. I'm not bashing him. I'm saying
even though I said he was short.
Yeah, right.
Okay, I'm not bashing him for that.
My point
was
he wears clothes that are not what you would expect a middle-aged preacher to wear.
Yeah.
And I'm not, I like fashion. I'm wearing a stinking SpongeBob.
Is that what you call fashion?
Sweater that Yeah, this is cutting-edge fashion.
Oh.
Yeah, but his cutting-edge fashion, it was very baggy jeans.
He was dressed like a Gen Zer.
He was dressed kind of like Gen Z.
In the not best way.
his shirt, and you'll be able to see it here in a clip in a second. His shirt was
Guns N' Roses.
Guns N' Roses underneath a flannel. But the jeans were so baggy, and then his shoes were like really clunky, so it just made him look very
short. Look even shorter.
It made him look very short.
Oh, but that's far besides the point.
Anyway, let's get to his sermon.
What truly matters.
Yes, let me just make sure. Yes, give this video a thumbs up, you guys, if you're happy to be here for PNM After Dark episode 5.
Do it.
He's given a sermon. It's coming out of Genesis. Jacob is on his way to meet Esau. It's coming out of Genesis 32. And on the way, you guys probably know this, he has an encounter with this angelic being. In this tussle, the angelic being touches his hip. It kind of like wrenches his hip. It dislocates it, causes pain. And then here's the verse that the whole sermon revolved around. I can just read it to you. It's very short, and you'll see why I'm doing this here in a second. The verse is Genesis 32:31. Okay, I thought I could read that. I like took a picture up on the screen. The sun rose above him as he passed Peniel, and he was limping because of his hip. You hear that verse and you're like, okay.
Hey, he's limping.
Well, Stephen Furtick, and this is, I'm just going to be real with you guys, it's a critique. I have a critique right out of the gate. He turned that one phrase, he was limping, the sun was coming up. And here's kind of what he did with it. But let's play clip number one, just so you guys can get a feel of the feel-ish of the sermon.
I've been limping my whole life. I've been struggling my whole life. And the truth of it is, some of the people that are critical of you would celebrate you if they could understand how hard it was for you to get to this point with your limp.
All right.
Did you kind of get the feel for that one?
Yeah, I was there. Trust me, I remember the sermon.
Let's just go ahead and play the other clip, and then we'll dive into some critique that I think is very healthy. This second clip, I just pulled this one up. Again, it's not like the substance necessarily of what he said, but it's just like he started getting more hyped towards the end, and here's a feel for how it went. If I gotta get there limping. When I like panned over to the mega screen, I thought for a second he was gonna repeat that now iconic infamous line, I am God Almighty.
Oh, I hope he would not do that.
I think he's learned his lesson. But it kind of sounded like that when he, one of the things he said. So there you go. Now you guys can feel like you were in the room with us. And I don't know the context.
Which that whole entire sermon is up on their YouTube page if y'all are like, I need to watch this whole thing.
The Light and the Limp probably was the title of it.
It's called The Limp or something.
I don't know the context with I Am God Almighty, but I know he got a lot of flack for that.
All right. First, okay, before we begin, we've already begun, but I just want to say that, you know, we met people at that church, and like the woman that we were staying with said that she got saved at that church, and you know, later down the road she ended up leaving that church and going elsewhere. I believe that people can get saved at Elevation. I believe that they can find God. But I also believe that meat is not being served at this church. It is very, very watered down skim milk, if that.
Skim milk.
Yeah. And so
they're staying on the milk rather than the solid food, as yes, the Apostle Paul.
Correct. And so there's that. Just want to throw that out there for anyone who's like, no, people are being saved. Like, I believe that. And that's obviously amazing. But there's a danger in churches like this. There's a lot of dangers, in my personal opinion, in churches like this. Because this sermon was so motivational and so about success and getting to the top. And you might have to limp for a while, and everyone else has a limp, but they're just better at hiding it. But you better believe they're walking through something, and they might seem more successful than you right now, but don't worry, you'll get there. Not what Genesis 32 is about. Literally at all. Like, we went back on our drive home after the sermon, we went and we read through Genesis 32 and part of 33, and I was just like, how did he get that entire sermon out of this? And then we went through commentary and we were like,
I had Morgan go through commentary. Yeah. And I said, let's just see if any of these commentaries
has to do with like a limp and like getting through life,
or trying to associate the light came up. Mm-hmm. And he had a limp. Like, they're trying to somehow associate that with us. Matthew yeah. Henry's concise commentary, which I consider a little bit of like the message version of commentaries, did a smidge, but not really
once I got to that specific verse. Not really.
It appears like Stephen Furtick is maybe preparing for his week's message. He's in the Word. He finds something and he thinks to himself, ooh, the light came up and he had a limp.
I can motivate.
I can motivate. I can create a motivating message out of this. And that feels like what happened. And you saw the reaction from the crowd. They were getting into it, man. Mm-hmm. The lady behind us, woof.
Oh, man. She was going wild.
She was going wild.
Here's the problem with churches where the sermons are more motivational and less, far, far less about, let's dive into what scripture is speaking to us right now. Let's see, just like, what did God want to share? First of all, Genesis 32 is such a cool story.
Oh my goodness.
We were reading it and we were like, why didn't Stephen talk about like how amazing this story is of Jacob and like his life, and then, you know, being terrified he's about to go see his brother and his brother's gonna try and kill him, and that's not what happens at all. And then he runs into angels and to a heavenly being and wrestles with them, like, insane. And then like the limp, from what commentary was saying, was like, this was to humble him because of his insanely amazing revelation that God just gave him, was to keep him humble then for the rest of his life.
Well, and just how much success he had
yeah.
throughout his life. Yeah, yeah. He had battles.
It was to keep him a humble man. That was not preached at all. And that's what I'm saying. The danger is all these motivational sermons and that are far less about the Lord. It's like, if you're trying to grow in your walk with God and you're only being fed this motivational skim milk, you're not going to grow unless you step away and walk off on your own. Like, you might grow for a year or two being at that church, but I think you'll get to a place where it's like, one, you don't even know what the Bible says about certain things unless you're off in your own quiet time, which I hope that that is the case. But for a lot of people, I know that that's not the case, that they're just relying on Stephen Furtick to preach them the word. That's not on Stephen, that's on them. But that is still very dangerous. And so,
but man, he was fun. Man, he was a fun man to listen to. I mean, hey.
Fun does not equal good.
I was prepping, and I pulled that second clip where he's like, when he's like getting really into it, and then he like turns on his heels and like straightens up. He's like, and I'm like, I actually probably listened to that three times, and I was like, this is fun. This is charismatic.
It was.
But I would agree overall with Morgan, just because something's fun or charismatic or, you know, passionate, doesn't mean you're getting meat. And I have come to the place where I would rather get I do want passion. Those who walk with the Lord and are spending time with Jesus should be passionate people. Mm-hmm. But I would rather have someone who is saying, let's look at this passage of scripture and figure out, what is God wanting us to know out of this? Let's learn about the history of Israel and see God's faithfulness. It's not always about us, and it's not always about turning it on us and motivating us.
And how we can climb the ladder to success.
Yeah.
With a limp.
I will say, one thing I took away that was a positive, it appears to me that Stephen Furtick, I don't know if he's just like a genius, or if, you know, let's give him the benefit of the doubt, he's reading the word a lot, because there were a number of times where it just felt like he naturally flowed into quoting scripture, whether it was the ending prayer, multiple times when it just flowed out of him. And I was like, this man appears to know the word. Mm-hmm. And so I'm going to give him kudos for that.
Yeah.
Again, I wish that the message had been more built on the word and really studying the word. I don't believe it was, but he did appear to know the word.
Yeah, and you know, I'm not saying this to like belittle him knowing the word, but like Satan can quote scripture too. He knows the word too. So don't.
You did not just go there.
Yes, it definitely does seem like Stephen Furtick knows the word. Of course he does. He went to seminary. He's been a pastor for 20 something years. If he doesn't know the word, that's deeply concerning. I mean, there are plenty of pastors out there that I'm sure don't know the word, but I don't know. That doesn't really impress me that much. Like, if that's what's impressive to us is, oh, our pastor knows scripture. Like, yeah, he should know scripture, should he not? Like, why are we impressed by that? But you be impressed with whatever you want to be impressed with, babe.
I like that clip. Someone actually commented, Morgan, I don't think you saw this, in the pre-live chat, and said this: I just watched a sermon that Stephen Furtick preached on recently called The Limp. Okay, so this was the one we were at. That's funny. The Limp, oh, called The Limp Won't Make You Late. Okay, oh. That okay, there's the title. The Limp Won't Make You Late. I feel like God was speaking to me through him. I needed to hear the message he preached.
And praise God for that. And like I said, I believe that people can hear Stephen Furtick's sermons and be encouraged by the Lord, but I would say don't let Stephen Furtick be the only person that you're ever watching and then you're also not getting into scripture. And like, if you go and watch Stephen Furtick stuff, that's totally fine, but then go back and read the entire chapter or book or chapter that he spoke on to make sure that like you understand what the Bible says, not what Stephen Furtick says about Genesis 32:31.
100%.
Lion and goo.
I feel like I've never been to a Joel Osteen, we'll call it a service, you can call it a conference, you can call it a seminar. I've never been to a Joel Osteen service, but I feel like it likely wouldn't feel that much different than what I experienced there at Elevation. And again, like, you know, if there are people on here that go to Elevation, you know, we're not trying to get on here and bash it, even though maybe it felt like that. There were some bright spots, but I would just say, like, really examine yourself and say, you know, what is this leaving me with at the end of the day?
Does it make me feel better about myself, or does it challenge me to look more like Jesus? Because that's the thing. We should be leaving church being like, I want to continue to strive for holiness. I want to continue to ask the Lord to refine me so that I look more like Christ, rather than leaving being like, yeah, I am freaking awesome and my limp is great and I'm gonna be a millionaire soon. I'm like if Stephen at one point was talking about like, your limp is not gonna make you late when you go to your family Thanksgiving and someone comes up to you and says, why aren't you married yet? You say, I'm not married yet because I'm still waiting for my husband. He's out making millions for me. And I was like, what? You're not late.
He was probably, you know, being a little sarcastic, but you got the feel.
No,
you had the feeling.
He was dead serious. I was watching him. He was dead serious.
All right. In the chat, you guys, comment your thoughts on that. If you maybe attend Elevation or you've seen a side that we, in our one time of going, plus a number of clips we've seen on the internet and some research that we've done, if you guys have different insight, please share. But that's just, we went, we observed a full service at Elevation. There's our feedback. There you go.
There you go.
Morgan.
Yes.
Let's get to Kat Von D. Because this is quite the interesting story. Before we do, Morgan, why should Man, I just really, our patrons know. Shout out to every patron that's in the live stream right now. I see a number of you guys. And we love you guys. And we're extremely grateful for you. What I want to tell, though, our broader audience, this project that we're working on that is the biggest project we've ever done, but I'm not going to.
You literally can't. You'll be sued by so many people. I'm just kidding. You wouldn't be sued. It's not that big.
but just what can we say?
Well, guys, just become a Patreon. Well, I don't even know what I'm saying. Become a patron, because then the entire project will be fully revealed to you. It's on one of our most updated recent posts on Patreon for patrons only. So you'll know exactly what we're talking about. And we also released a mock, but still very much part of the project.
Yes.
Just a video for our patrons only. So
it's technically it is. It could be considered episode one.
Technically.
I mean, it's like 40 minutes long.
It is.
But yeah. So shout out to our patrons for helping support this very big project. If you guys want an inside scoop and you want to really be along for the ride on this thing, consider becoming a patron. Patreon.com/Paul and Morgan Show.
Three words.
The link is below.
Unite, grow, entertain. Those are your hints for our project. All right. Now become a patron.
I don't know if I've ever been more excited for literally anything we've done on the channel.
I literally have not been more excited, so.
And we're going hard, baby. Oh, wow. The Archon says, I feel motivated to make millions.
As you should, because what the re-performance of Stephen Furtick's sermon that I just gave was very motivating.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, Kat Von D, let's talk about her. First of all, do you guys know who Kat Von D is?
Well, Morgan,
did you know who she was before the baptismal video?
Let's get to the super chat, and then we'll jump into Kat Von D. Guys, y'all know we greatly appreciate your super chats. Love it, and we will get to those on the quick.
Thank you, Amy. She says, never stop analyzing pop Christian culture. This is very needed. Aww, thank you.
Thank you so much.
Shout out.
Amy, thank you, Amy. All right, Morgan, go back. Kat Von D, go. Oh, and by the way, what are we drinking tonight?
Yeah.
Everyone in the live chat, if you have a snack or a drink, what are you drinking / snacking on? What do you got, Morgan?
I ate my snack right before we went live. It was a hot fudge sundae Pop-Tart, and it was delicious.
Very nice.
It was my last one. And this is a liquid IV poured into water, strawberry flavor, and it's delicious.
Good, baby. I've had Prime before, Logan Paul's baby drink.
Baby drink.
Logan and KSI. But this goes, how good does this go with my shirt? I didn't even think about that. It never crossed my mind.
Yeah, it does go pretty good.
Well, let's do a Prime taste test. Lemonade. I believe Logan Paul claims that this is the best lemonade.
Did you
put
ice cubes in the bottle?
Yeah, because Prime is so sweet. So I didn't want it to be so sweet. I think I heard Logan Paul say this will be the best lemonade I've ever had.
With 1 gram of sugar.
It's got 1 gram of sugar, 10% coconut water, which I like coconut water. Let's see.
Blah, 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 any day.
Okay, okay.
Wow. How many sips did he just take in one mouth?
7 out of 10. Pretty good.
Is it the best lemonade you've ever had?
I don't drink lemonade that much. No, the lemonade at the Kentucky State Fair, better.
Ooh,
sorry, Logan.
So good.
But it's still 7 out of 10. Like, it's still, that's still pretty good. It's a pretty good lemonade, especially for 1 gram of sugar.
All right.
Go, Morgan.
I grew up, for some reason, somehow, I don't know how I got away with this, but I grew up watching TLC's LA Inc.
You would.
I know. So weird. And that is where I found Kat Von D. And I loved her from the moment I saw her. I don't know why. I just thought, like, she
really?
Is so chill.
Yeah. She seemed genuine, even being on, like, a reality show.
She did. Oh, yeah. She was just so laid back and was just like, you could tell she just loved to tattoo. Like, That's why she was there. She wasn't there to be the face of a show. Like, she didn't care about the drama. She did not want to start drama, but the show, you know, would obviously stir up drama.
For those of you who are completely in the dark, this famous celebrity tattoo artist in Hollywood, into the occult, I think that was like part of her kind of public image, wasn't it? Right?
That was a lie. Well, she said that people started just running articles of like satanic.
Well, darkness was a part of her image.
Yeah, okay.
And then recently we see her post a video of her getting baptized. There's been a lot of talk. And then she's on Ally B. Stuckey podcast breaking all of it down 2 days ago. And so
she's
that's
got what, 9 million followers on Instagram.
That's what we're about to get to, is a little bit out of that. But go ahead, Morgan.
Oh, yeah, no, that's so, yeah, when I you know, never followed her on Instagram or anything, but I remember a couple of years ago, a post of hers went kind of viral. I think it was in 2020. She, like, said that she was throwing away all of these books about, like, yoga and, like, meditation and crystals and things like that that she had laying around the house because she realized that they had power over her and she did not want them in her house, didn't want them in her son's range to get a hold of. And
very good.
So yeah, that was super interesting. She didn't, I can't remember exactly what she said in the post, but she didn't necessarily be like, and it's because I'm a Christian, which is interesting because she actually grew up in a Christian home. Her parents were both missionaries. But anywho, so come a month or two ago, she posts this video and it's her getting baptized and it goes viral and people go crazy.
Oh yeah.
And then people lose their minds because they're like, you're not a real Christian. Look at what you're wearing. Look at the music that you're putting out.
Well, I'll say I will be just completely honest. I saw the stuff happening. I went to her Instagram, saw a video that I think she released after the baptism video. Is that correct?
Yes.
And I was like, I don't want to watch this. It's immodest. It looks dark.
It was like a clip of her music video and there's a woman on a pole dancing. She's not stripping, but she's not dressed well.
Yeah. So that was my initial reaction, was like disappointment. You know, it just was like, as a Christian seeing someone that getting baptized and then I see that, disappointment. Mm-hmm. However, I'm not like saying that I mean, I'm allowed to be disappointed, but I feel like I have a little bit more insight and clarity and compassion after watching the good amount that I did of the Ally B interview.
Yeah, I haven't been able to finish it yet, but what I've watched, I was very much enjoying.
Shout out to our patron, Mark Moore. I'm getting you this time, Mark. In the I'm giving you the shout out that I missed in the last one. He posted about it on Patreon. And yes, Mark, we have been...
Kat Von D?
Uh-huh. About the Kat Von D, Ally B Stuckey.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Morgan, I wanted to specifically, because in my mind, kind of like watching that dark, immodest music video and then seeing her on with Ally, I'm thinking, I wonder if they're going to cover this. I wonder if they're going to cover, because yeah, you know, there's the backlash from Christians, and that's interesting as well.
Mm-hmm.
But is she going to cover how she justifies still kind of hanging on to the darkness and this kind of dark image that so many Christians would look at and say, this is not the light, the path of light, the path of godliness even, that we're called to walk. And so she addresses that in a few different ways, a few specific things. Are we ready?
We're ready. Let's watch.
So she's talking about it at one point before this first clip. She says, you know, people consider these certain things, when they look at me, they are like, oh, that's, certain things are dark. And she just says, I just don't consider them dark. And then she goes on to, she jumps into vampires. Mm-hmm. And this is,
yeah, because her song is called Vampire Love.
Okay. I guess it makes sense. Vampires. So here is her explaining vampires, which in our deliverance service that we went to on Friday, that was one of the things that the minister just straight up, he was like, and vampires are, if you're watching vampire movies, demonic. Santa Claus, demonic. Easter Bunny, demonic.
Harry Potter, demonic.
So he specifically called out vampire movies. Here's her talking about vampires and kind of giving justification for it.
So vampires, for me, it's like, vampires aren't real. I, to me, I think it's entertaining to think about certain things, you know, like, when you're a kid, you're thinking like, what if I could fly? Or what if I was invisible? What would be, yeah. you know, like, these are just thoughts. Like, I always thought like this weird people's fascination with wanting to live forever, which would, to me would be like such a curse, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like, so, and how people romanticize that, you know, but.
She's thinking about it. Let's just give her a little credit here. She's thinking about layers to this that maybe some of us vampires, dark, evil, we're out.
Yeah.
She sees some nuance that I think is okay to discuss.
Yeah, she's like, they're not real. Why can't I be fascinated by them?
Why can I not be fascinated by the idea of living forever, which I guess vampires do? The idea of that actually is a curse.
Fine.
To live for, yeah. These different things. She yeah. didn't mention maybe the darker elements that would be turnoffs to a decent amount of Christians.
I want to suck your blood.
But I appreciate that she's willing to talk about it instead of just being like, you know what, Christians, shove off.
Oh, yeah.
You can't judge me. She's like, no, let's talk about it. Here's how I see vampires. Yeah. I see some redeeming qualities in them. And for the record, from the large portion of the interview I saw, she seems to be genuinely desiring to walk with the Lord. She seems to have a genuine love for Jesus. She said that one of the things early on when she, I think it was like 2019, 2020, when she started really like giving her life over to the Lord, she said she started studying the Bible. So, you know.
That's amazing.
That's amazing. It's better than some people who have been Christians for 20 years.
Right.
I mean, how many Christians, if we're just in the live chat, let's just be real for a second. Like, how many of you guys are studying, not just reading a couple verses every day? And I hope that it's a lot of you guys. I genuinely do. And I know that it's going to be some, but how many of you guys are studying the Bible on the reg?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I wasn't studying the Bible. Up until, you know, 3 or 4 years ago is when I started actually studying more so.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, like, man, if when I gave my life to Christ, like, truly came to the Lord and then was judged for every single thing that I did from then on out by 9 million people plus... Because I'm sure she's getting people who don't follow her coming over to her page, commenting on things. Like, it would be terrifying to me. I don't think I'd be able to handle that. Like, I don't know about you guys, but my walk with the Lord has been a very slow sanctification process. Daily. Hourly. Things that I've done in the past month or two have been like, why did I respond that way? Like, I've been a believer for so long, like, why can't I respond more Christ-like? And so when I think about my own walk with the Lord, it makes me think, man, she deserves all the grace in the world, and not jumping so quick to judgment of like, but you got baptized, why aren't you on fire now? Like, why aren't you dressed in all white and singing hallelujah? It's a process, and maybe she'll never change the things that she loves, but I wouldn't be surprised
right.
if in a couple years she's even fallen away from some of those other things
and
that she claims to love right now.
And she talked about that there's things that she used to love or used to be really into that are not tasteful to her anymore. So I hope that that's the case, because still, despite, you know, even with the grace that we're talking about that she deserves, mm-hmm. in our opinion, like, that music video did not look great to me. And I hope that we see through, you know, she talked about being in a Bible study. She talked about having a pastor who's really into, like, knows the Bible, knows theology. I hope that we see maybe people challenge her.
Totally.
Because I did not like that music video.
I mean, you know, and did I love it? No.
Not that I have to like it, but it didn't look great to me. But here's her talking about exorcism movies, which I'll be honest, I strongly dislike.
Yeah, never watched one, nor will I ever watch one.
Let's hear what she has to say.
I reflect on that in such a biblical way. Like, I can see, like... like I see demonic possessions, like I say, especially in addiction and in like the guy who came to my door like that night. Like, so when I do watch some of that stuff, like I do think about, you know, my faith. I don't think about like, oh, this is so great and gory.
Thoughts?
I mean, I guess if she's saying she can take some faith things out of it, specifically with exorcisms.
She did say that she doesn't really watch horror movies anymore. Yeah. But then I think she said to this day, she still watches stuff with exorcisms. And she mentioned the exorcism of Emily Rose, which she said that was more of like
the actors like die.
I don't know.
Well, or like right after filming.
She said that had more to do with like the church and like a lawsuit or something. I don't know. But anyway.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
My reaction will be, I don't know that we need to be like, because she was saying that she looks at it from a faith perspective, as someone who's a Christian biblical perspective, and she appreciates, you know, that kind of like good and evil exorcism. I don't know that we need to be going to Hollywood movies.
Right.
For that, like, study scripture verses, watch Isaiah Saldivar, and study verses of Jesus delivering people. The Hollywood versions get pretty murky in my opinion, but again, I watch that and I'm like, okay, she's approaching it. She has this background that's extremely different than mine, and she's approaching it differently than me. Do I need to get on her and just start bashing her and saying she's clearly not a Christian? No. This is not this where she's like defending, in my opinion, this just super black and white issue, trying to embrace something that's ungodly and saying, I'm standing on this. Do I like exorcism movies? No, not at all. But I think there's some gray area there.
Yeah.
It does. I got a little concerned earlier when I was thinking about her situation and how many good things she was saying on the podcast. And I thought of like Kanye West, and he was saying so many good things and he was being mentored, and now it appears that he's, I don't know where he's at, but I'm concerned for him, and I was hoping that he was going to be on just like a really solid trajectory, and it to me doesn't look like that's really the case. I don't know. I've seen some stuff that's concerned me.
Yeah, he got a fake wife.
But I don't want to just be like, okay, here's another big celebrity, she's going to turn out just like Kanye. Like, that's not fair.
No. And also, I mean, I don't think she's in the same spotlight that Kanye was in. She definitely has a spotlight on her life, but and Kanye was literally married to the Kardashian family. Like, I don't know, you know, we're talking hundreds of millions of people on him.
Well, I think guys, like, let's, if it's on your heart, be praying for her, because like listening to her share and just thinking about that, like, I want these people that maybe are on the fringes to be reached. And who better to reach them than someone who is just super thick in their camp?
Yeah.
And with the deliverance service we went to Friday, there was a gentleman sitting behind us who was like the bona fide biker with, you know, the skeleton tattoos and the biker beard and all that. Mm-hmm. And I was like, man, if he like is seeking after the Lord and had maybe like say a radical conversion, who better to reach the bikers than him?
Yeah.
So like, totally. Just because it looks different than we are super comfortable with, let's pray that the gospel goes out through these people and that they are walking closely with the Lord. And just like the parable of the sower sowing the stuff on the different, in the different grounds, like, yeah, there's a real chance that Satan is going to be coming after her and trying to uproot this seed that was planted. Let's pray that doesn't happen.
Yeah. Amen. That's good. Very good.
Woo! Morgan, you guys comment on that. Genuinely, in the comment section.
Share your thoughts.
You know, where are you at with someone like Kat Von D and just kind of what we've seen going on with her? I'd be curious to hear, and I'll try to respond to some of those. Let's get back real quick to what you guys are snacking on. I kind of want to see that. Oh, and we got a super chat from our boy, the Archon. But here we go. Morgan, you tell me what sounds like the, out of all of what our audience is snacking slash drinking,
Thank you for your super chat, Archon. He says, Odd and I were very impressed with the interview. Nice.
There we go. The Archon, okay, you'll like this, the Archon. The Deliverance pastor on Friday, didn't he say, like, when he was doing all the things we need to, like, run away from, or we'll get, like, cursed or demonized from type deal, something like that. Didn't he say screamo music? Or metal music?
He said rock and roll.
Rock and roll music. And I immediately thought of you, the Archon.
You need to be delivered, son.
We're not going to go, like I said, too into that right now. But I thought of you there, the Archon. Let's see what people are eating / drinking. Morgan, out of all these, you tell me which one sounds the best, okay? Archon is drinking orange juice with creatine.
Gross.
We got decaf coffee from Christina. Tomato basil soup because of she's sick, Esther says.
Sorry you're sick, but that does sound yummy.
A good tomato basil soup is nice.
So good.
But autumn squash soup is better, and we are right around the corner. Absolutely no, it not. Is. You absolutely have not had not. Bellanote's autumn squash soup.
Absolutely not.
Butternut squash soup.
Absolutely not.
A little sprinkle of nutmeg.
No, yeah, you did get it once, and it was disgusting.
Why do you have to say the word disgusting? Why could you not say, it just didn't quite do it for me? It was so good, Morgan.
I'm glad that you love it, Polly, and I'll go get you a cup soon.
That's a better answer.
But I will not eat it.
You'll eat it and you'll love it. Hold on. Here we go. A few more. I got behind. Raspberry lemonade. Ice water and a peanut butter bar. Peanut butter bar, that sounds simple. Good. Raisin toast with jam and Nutella. Mm. Baked potato with turkey sausage. Hot dog and chips with Pepsi Max.
Look, I love a good hot dog if you top it right. You gotta have all the toppings. We're talking tiny onion, relish. We're talking cheese, like shredded cheese.
Oh, yeah.
We're talking, what else do I put on my onions?
Mayo on there.
But yeah, mayo and mustard. And what else? Sometimes I'll put sauteed mushrooms on top.
I'm still not sure about the mayo. It tasted good what you made me.
Okay.
Mayo on a hot dog, you guys. Mayo on a hot dog. It sounds super weird when you just say it like that, but when you add all the other stuff... It was tasty, but I still don't know that I can bring myself to put mayo on my hot dog when you're not making it for me.
That's so weird. You know it's good, but yet you won't do it.
You guys get where I'm coming from with that? Okay. It's just the act of putting mayo on a hot dog. Something's not right. Archon gave us another super chat. Shout out to our boy, the Archon. Thank you. And thank you to everyone who's on the live chat right now. It's good to have you guys.
Superman says that's nasty, Morgan. You know what? Try it.
You try it.
Shout out. Rock and roll will take your soul. We all know that.
Wow.
Wow.
It's the rock and roll panic of the 2023.
Ooh, Mrs. T says mayo on a hot dog with crushed Doritos. Spice it up.
Now we're just getting absolutely ridiculous.
That actually does sound pretty good.
No.
Because the crunch. But that's what the pickles are for. On the relish, from the relish.
Bingo.
I make my own relish by just chopping up tiny pickles.
Correct. And it's very good.
By chopping up pickles and making them really tiny. A couple of you guys asked in the comments, where can we give to Patreon or join Patreon? And you can go to patreon.com/Paul and Morgan Show and sign up for one of our tiers. We have a $5, we got a $2, $5, $10, $15, $25, $50, and $100 tier. And there are all kinds of different
perks.
Perks.
There has never been a better time to join. Seriously, we'd love to have you guys closely involved in the project that we're working on.
Yeah, we can't do it without you.
In the works on. All right. Morgan.
Yes.
Did you vote?
Yes, I did. I voted. I used my American citizen right. And I voted because in Kentucky, which maybe it was everywhere, I don't know, the governor's race was going. And in Kentucky, it was against our current governor and the new possible wow. Andy Beshear and Daniel Cameron. And Daniel Cameron is awesome. Pro-life.
Pro-freedoms.
Pro-freedoms.
No pro-lockdowns. Against lockdowns.
Yeah. Pro-choosing which schools you go to. Like, all the things.
Man, it's real. It hurts as we talk about it more. And by the way, my mind jumps to a lot of different things. Well, I remember we linked the full Ali B. Stuckey, Kat Von D interview below this video. Highly recommend you watch it. I think it's very interesting. So, yeah, as we talk about
it. Yes, I voted.
As we talk about it more, I'm just getting more like, oh. I told Morgan.
Because we're pretty sure we're positive that the governor race went to Andy Beshear, which is a bummer.
Went to a pro-choice into all the, you know, alphabets.
Tried to become the king of the universe during lockdown.
Went and like to try to close churches or churches. And he's back in office. Fortunately, we have a lot of Republicans that are not allowing him to wreak too much havoc.
Yes, that
but
is nice.
But I asked Morgan, I just told Morgan, I said, you know what's interesting, Morgan? And I don't want to be a hypocrite and act like I would have nothing would have kept me from the polls today. Because that, right. You know, that's not the case.
No.
If there would have been a hiccup and we wouldn't have known where we could vote and had to do stuff, I maybe wouldn't have made it. Like, I'm seriously. And perhaps shame on me. In the comments right now, if you are honest enough and bold enough, comment if you voted. Because I told Morgan, I think if we did a poll on Instagram, did you vote today in the governor's races and just the different races, I think the vast majority of people would say no, they didn't vote. And I said, I even mentioned like a few of our friends by name and said, I bet that these six friends, none of them voted.
And I was like, no, like, they're patriotic. They voted. They didn't.
It turns out that it looks like I was more or less right. And, you know, again, I don't want to be a hypocrite. I was not out campaigning. This day could have come and gone, and I could have missed it. Now, the presidential elections, which really these local elections in many ways hold more weight, are more important.
Seriously.
But I'm more likely to vote in the presidential elections. I voted today. I'm glad that I did. It feels right. I'm standing for what I believe. It's an important thing, but it could have come and gone, and I could have missed it.
Yeah.
But never. So I don't want to be a hypocrite, but it is interesting that so few people exercise the right.
Yeah, it's a bummer. You know, I do feel like some people are scarred after the past election with the presidents. They're just kind of like, I don't know if any of this matters. Like, I don't know. And so they're just like, I don't think I'm gonna vote ever again, which, you know, I get it, but don't fall into that. Like, keep voting. It's not that hard. You literally go and fill out a box and move on. Like, come on, we can do it.
Morgan, Patrick says Andy Beshear wins by 5 points per NBC News.
5 points? That's it? Okay.
I'm wondering kind of like how much.
Hopefully Daniel Cameron will be like, I'm testing this.
You want a recount?
Yeah.
I don't know like how significant that is. It doesn't sound like much.
Mm-hmm.
But it does look like we have some people in our audience that voted.
Good. Good. Good job.
Yeah, so it's just, you know, it just kind of stinks. Again, I'm not here to shame you guys. I'm not.
No.
Life gets busy and whatever. But just when you do like reflect on it a little bit longer, like there is significant stuff at stake. And I guess in a perfect world, I wish that we'd all be out. All Christians would be out voting.
Well, especially like when it is such, like for Kentucky anyways, and Ohio had a big proposal, being voted on that had to do with baby deletion. Won't say the actual word in case of monetization. And it's just like, for Kentucky, like, get out and stink and vote. Like, this vote really does matter. Like, this is a big deal with our governor. Like, y'all know what he tried to do, what he did do to us during lockdown. Do y'all want to go through that again?
Patrick says, Ohio issue one passes in Ohio, enshrining baby deletion in state constitution. So sad.
Wow, that is just tragic. That's crazy that that got passed in Ohio, because Ohio's a red state too.
Ugh. And I realize some states it's just a trickier thing. Audrey and Anthony said they didn't vote, but there was nothing important on it, just two proposals about the library and some housing. If there were bigger issues on the ballot,
not the libraries,
then they would have voted. And I saw that Anthony even said there was, yeah, only two stupid proposals, nothing else on the ballot. I get it. Some places, sometimes your vote could matter more if it's going to be a closer race and not like a landslide. But nevertheless, yeah, I don't know. If I think about it too long, I get kind of sad.
I feel you, brother.
But I don't want to be a hypocrite.
Yeah.
You guys, let's open this thing up to a fun Q&A. Everybody just relax.
Just relax.
Write in your questions. Write in your questions. Let's just, where do you guys want to go with this?
Oh, tomatoes. I put chopped up tomatoes on my hot dog as well.
That was a good dog that you made me. It really was.
Thank you.
It was a good dog.
Yeah, I know. You do a good job of cooking them, and I do a good job of layering them. You know, I could probably start a restaurant just with how great my sandwiches are.
Morgan's Delicious Dogs?
I think about my toes when you say that because of Carl. How she always tries to take a picture of my toes when they're out.
Sick. That is just sick. Morgan's Delicious Dogs.
But there would be other sandwiches too, so it can't all be about hot dogs. I make a good sandwich.
You are the queen of sandwiches. On another kind of sad note, the church that we went in and voted is 5 minutes from our house. Big church, never been in. And we walk in and there's rainbow.
It's like, anyone is welcome here.
So there's multiple rainbows.
I'm just like, why do we have to say that? Like, of course anyone is welcome here, but you're not welcome to continue living in your sin and calling yourself a Christian.
They're saying everything that we need to know without saying it.
Oh, yeah, totally. So I'm just like, okay. You're welcome at our church too.
Let's.
But you better be ready to be repent out of your sin. Yeah.
You don't even have to come. You don't have to come ready to repent.
No.
But you should be okay to be challenged by what the Word of God says. I mean.
Correct.
Never shy away from speaking the truth, but also realizing that people are on a journey.
Amen.
All right. What do you guys have to say? Write in your questions. Super chats will be got to very quickly. And let's just rip the can. Let's rip the top off of this can and get to just a live Q&A.
Rip the top off of this can. Guys, I did a workout on Monday and my abs are so sore.
Sorry, baby. All right, here's a really interesting question to kick things off. I want you guys in the live chat to weigh in on this. We went to the deliverance service on Friday. Christina asks, did you guys believe that legitimate deliverance took place? And have either of you guys ever received deliverance or healing?
Oh, boy. Oh, dear. All right. Well, you know, I want to be careful in how I talk about this church service that we went to, because obviously it was the church of the woman that we were staying with's church and her service. And she very much loves that church, from what I could tell. So, you know, I don't want to come in here just like bash and destroy. But I also don't want to like hinder the realities of what I witnessed.
Well, I mean, I think kind of part of that question was, have we ever been you can speak on that firsthand.
Yes, I can. So
wait, which I gotta go pee, so give me a second. Go ahead.
Oh. So a lot of you guys might know this, but I was delivered from depression, anxiety, suicidal ideation, and tendencies. I like very like was delivered from it, and was able to get off all of my medications. That was a process, but I did it alongside my psychiatrist. And yeah, so anywho, I believe that deliverance is legit and absolutely can take place still to this day. But I think that people can take the idea of deliverance and run with it, run rampant with it, to the point that it does like the complete opposite of freeing you, and it actually wraps you up in fear and constant anxiety of, am I cursed? Am I demonized? Is there something in me that I need to be delivered from? Like, if I'm not, you know, super successful at my job, have I been cursed by something? If I'm not able to get pregnant right now, does that mean I've been cursed by something? Blah, 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 blah. And so like there are a ton of people who have run with the idea of deliverance and made it something, to my, in my personal opinion, that is so, they've taken it and made it so the opposite of God, so the opposite of Jesus and what he did on the cross. It's a cult to me. It's become a cult. This idea of you have to be delivered from all of these different things to see this one thing align with God. You got to be delivered in all this stuff. And here's how to know if you are under a curse. You're struggling with infertility. You've had miscarriages. Blah, blah, blah. That was something that was said on Friday. I got up and I left the service and I could not go back. I was infuriated. I'll just be honest. I think it's sick for someone to ever tell a woman that she has a curse on her life because she can't get pregnant or struggling to get pregnant or had a miscarriage. Like, you don't, that's not, no, nope. I don't think, where is that in the Bible? Tell me, where is that in the Bible?
There are some Old Testament passages that talk a little about that, that you could really look into more.
Yeah. Yeah, I would have to look into that way more. And I have a feeling that it wouldn't line up with what these people are saying and why they're saying you're cursed because of these things. And so
I think one of them, if I'm just off the top of my head, is like if a woman has been like unfaithful, then there's a way like that there.
Which I'm gonna guess that any woman that is coming to be prayed over because they can't get pregnant has not, most likely not been unfaithful.
And there was like a procedure they'd go on to see, like, this is how you can tell if a woman's been unfaithful, and then like the barrenness would be one, stuff like that.
My whole thing is, you guys, you're delivered. You are delivered from things, whatever it is, when you accept Jesus Christ into your life and you're covered by the blood of the Lamb. That is true freedom. I'm not saying that you can't then walk into some sinful things and start becoming, you know, a part of, yeah, you're sleeping with someone outside of marriage. You're a believer, but you're sleeping with someone outside of marriage, and some consequences are happening because of your sinful choices. And I'm not saying that you shouldn't repent from those things and turn away and be, you know, what is, and to ask for forgiveness, to be washed white as snow, because you absolutely should. But do I think that you need to be delivered from the lust demon, because that's why you ended up falling into sin? That's why. It's like fear, a mixture of fear and also being able to blame like everything on a demon. On like, oh, I started sleeping with my boyfriend because it wasn't because I fell into my just fleshly desires. It's because I was possessed by the lust demon and I needed to be delivered of that. No, that's not what happened.
Where do you guys stand on this? I didn't hear every kind of all your thoughts on the service, but a question I would have, Morgan, and I'm sure that I would share many of your thoughts. I tried to go into it like just with an open mind, an open heart, and
same.
It got crazier than I and more wild than I anticipated. But a question I would have is, because I too believe, like, we got to give more credit to when we're saved and we are indwelt by the Holy Spirit, that, like, we have the power.
The power and authority.
And authority, you know, like, we're clean. And it's not this continued needing deliverance from demons. Yeah. It might be learning how to crucify the flesh. I'm trying to think of other stuff. But nevertheless, I guess, Morgan, what I come back to is when you were really struggling with deep depression.
And I shared about that.
And you felt like that stuff was lifted off of you during that prayer time. Could that not have been in some ways looked at as like a deliverance?
Oh, I think that was deliverance. And I said, like, I do believe in deliverance. I just don't believe in this deliverance that people, pastors, have run with and made it something so much different than what the Bible, I think, makes it. And I've now turned it into this, like, fear-mongering.
That's what I was going to say. It thing. From my perception, as I listened to him mention probably 50 different things, I was like,
more.
Thinking back on it, I'm like, man, and I felt it in the moment. This is just, it's fear-mongering. Whether he means for it to be or not, he may be totally well-intentioned, but it's fear-mongering, and it's causing the congregation, if I were in that congregation, it would be causing me to go home and constantly be thinking, I had this thought, is that a demon? Oh, this, like I heard you saying, this has happened to me in my life, in my circumstances, demon. And you just become this fearful, anxious, there are demons crawling, like clawing at my door, trying to get in my room.
Demons, or you have a curse on your life. Like, you guys know, we struggled to get pregnant for 5 years. And if I had been in his sermon that night and was still struggling to get pregnant with Luca, like, and I heard, like, here's how to know how you have a curse on your life. It was literally one of the first few five things he said was, you are struggling with infertility. You've had a miscarriage. Like, I would have, like, I don't know what I would have done, but I would have lost it. And it took everything in me not to lose it then. I walked out and I didn't go back in because, like, no, just no. I did not have a curse on my life. That's not why I couldn't get pregnant. Who knows why I couldn't get pregnant for 5 years? But I do know that God makes all things good for the people who love him. And I know that in those 5 years, I had more growth and sanctification and a refining process that made me look more like Jesus, prepared me to be a better mother to my son than ever before. Like, it was such a beautiful waiting season process to walk through with the Lord. Like, who's to say God didn't purposefully do that? He opens and shuts the womb. So why are you, pastor, saying, oh, you're cursed, actually? And crazy to me. Just
it would be
crazy.
Because Isaiah Saldivar, you guys know, is a friend of ours. I'd be curious to talk to him and get his thoughts, because I've heard him say stuff in regards to the demonic that I disagree with. But yeah, kind of get his thoughts if we were to just break down the service we went to and hear where he's at. I heard Vlad Slavchuk, who's kind of part of that demon slayer group, he was going down a list of, you know, the demon or needing deliverance from this, and he went down a number of things, and some of them were just like, again, kind of going in line with what you're saying, it just felt so over the top.
Yeah.
To me, bedwetting was one.
And it's a demon.
All I've heard is just a brief clip, so I don't want to start acting like I know the whole sermon, but bedwetting was one. Thumb sucking. And I'm just kind of like, Spider-Man, if everybody's a hero, nobody is. If everything's a demon, nothing is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I know it's hard not to, like, just laugh out loud at that.
I'm just like, wow.
What you don't want to do, though, is go so far as to say that different things going on in my life, like, I'm not going to attribute any of it to supernatural darkness. The Bible says that the devil comes as a roaring lion looking at those he may devour. That's very real. Our battle is not against flesh and blood. But I think a lot more of it based off of my, as I read scripture, my own life, diving into scripture, I believe a lot more of it is learning to crucify the flesh, and the flesh, the sinful flesh of man, even after we've been saved and sanctified, is still trying to get us living in this fallen world. We got to crucify our flesh daily and walk in line with the Spirit, not to gratify the desires of sinful man, of the sinful flesh, the corrupted flesh. So I'm looking at it like, God, help me to put on the full armor of God to crucify my flesh, rather than saying, this is a demon, this is a demon, this is a demon.
Yeah, it's good. So there you have it.
The Archon says, I just cracked my toes. That would be, they might say, demon of toe cracking. I don't know. We shared it briefly with my mom earlier, my beloved mom. She may have been on the chat earlier. I'm not sure.
Give her name away.
We shared it with my mom, and my mom kind of gently, she was like, oh, that sounds really extreme, like over the top.
Okay,
extreme.
Here's the thing about Paul's family, though. They love to play the devil's advocate. So if you come in and you're like, it was crazy, they're like, but was it really crazy? So like, they might also think it's crazy, but someone, one of them, his mom or dad, loves to play the devil's advocate.
But she was like, when we were telling her about it, she said, well, in the Bible, you know, I think it was the New Testament, maybe in Acts, they were convicted. I can't remember what book it was. They were convicted and they threw away all their magic books. So, you know, if the pastor's saying like, get rid of this in your house, get rid of this in your house, vampire movies and Santa Claus and rock and roll music, all this stuff. Mom was like, they did throw out the magic books in the Bible. And, you know, I think, yeah, if you got something in your house, if you got a Ouija board that you walk by that's on your counter every day,
get rid of that crap.
Get rid of that Ouija board, but you don't need to obsess over and constant fear. Maybe this could, and that's what it, I feel like it becomes.
Yeah.
Maybe this totally could be a portal to the demonic in my home. This book that was, and someone who did the illustrations in it was blah, 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 blah. It becomes just this obsessive, we get to walk in the peace of the Lord under his wing. Psalm 91, those who dwell in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. Like, we have the Almighty on our side, baby. I'm not going to live in fear like the pastor was saying. Oh, and we're all bought by the Freemasons because the Freemasons ran our country, blah, blah, blah. Okay, I'm not doing Freemasonry stuff. I'm not going to live in fear of Freemasonry from 300 years ago.
No.
I'm not going to obsess over that.
Yeah. And, you know, this idea that, and we can move on after this, but this idea that a lot of these deliverance people talk about is like, you have to break the generational curses on your life to truly be free, to walk in, you know, true freedom, whatever. And obviously, like, if your parents are alcoholics, you're probably like, I'm going to stay away from drinking alcohol because I know that addiction runs in my DNA, that desire, whatever.
I've seen it so many times that it's kind of, can affect you.
Right. And, you know, or maybe you're not even afraid of that, but you're just like, I've seen what it did to my parents and I never would even want to take a sip of that crap, you know, whatever it is. I get that. But this idea that this one pastor said was that, like, if someone in your family, even if it was from generations upon generations ago, was a part of the Freemasonry, you have to repent right now. And you, like, you have to repent and get and break like, that curse off of your life.
Sounds like reparations.
Yeah. And I'm like, I didn't do that. And I haven't done that. And I will never repent for that unless I get involved in that. And then I'll repent. But I just, like, and there's a lot of deliverance pastors who talk like that of, you have to repent / you know, pray away, break off the curses of your ancestors. And I'm just like, is Jesus's blood not strong enough to wash away those things? Like, if they were going to affect us, but I don't think they are going to affect us. So it just boggles my mind.
Here's a few comments, Morgan. Susanna quoted in James 1:4, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away by his own lusts and enticed. Or another version is, he's drawn away by his own evil desires and enticed. This is an interesting one, and actually a friend mentioned this as well. Superman says, they do that to scare you in order to create a need for them so that you keep going back to that place, because only they know what to do and only they can help deliver you. Yeah. And it is kind of interesting, like, so everyone goes, everyone gets free of every demon that was spoken against, the 50 that he mentioned. Mm-hmm. And so are we all good now? Like, everybody's right. Good. We don't need the pastor to keep revisiting it, because it feels like there's
couple
always
months later, you'll need a little bit of maintenance, but
yeah, it feels like there's always going to be kind of new things. We're never like fully, we always got to kind of be in fear.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's like, how it feels.
I mean, he went down a list of stinking 50 something things. Like, after that, then what? I guess I'm free now. No, you're not. Come back next Friday for more.
Yeah. Lauren agrees with you. All things work for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purposes. He may be allowing certain things for purposes we cannot see. Think of Jesus in the garden. And when we left that deliverance, you know, night, it's like there was no mention of that God could be allowing.
Right. No mention.
Negative things in your life for a purpose. You left being like, what's a demon that I need to get rid of? Because
anything negative is happening in my life, it's demonic.
Nova says, I mean, the enemy can cause a lot of things.
For sure. And, you know, Paul and I were talking this morning. I was like, you know, I don't want to be naive to the fact that, like, when we're struggling with thoughts, when we're struggling with actions in our life, like, it could absolutely be a spiritual attack. Spiritual warfare is a real thing, and we need to recognize that. I'm not saying that none of it is real. It is more real than the physical. But it's not more real than the blood of Jesus Christ. So,
Nova says, not everything is a demon. Christina says, thanks for answering my question. Church needs to be more equipped about deliverance, as people will need to get set free more in the last days. I guess kind of thing that was a little odd for me is it felt like the people that we were around were the church congregation. So like the vast majority Christians.
Yeah.
And that's what, I mean, yeah, if you got like people coming in that are lost.
Right.
And like, you know, that's part of their like coming to salvation, which, yeah. Yeah, I guess that to me is like a little more like, okay, you know, let's look into this. But it was just this. Were, you know, so many of us were Christians there.
Right.
And that's what felt significantly.
Yeah, all of these deliverance events seem to be for Christians and not for non-believers. And I'm sure that there are plenty of events out there that, like, pastors are holding and they're inviting the public and they're inviting, you know, telling their congregation, like, please, like, bring a person who doesn't know the Lord and, like, let's pray for them. Let's,
and maybe we didn't give the church enough. We don't know, like, maybe that was their previous Sunday before the deliverance night, that was like a memo of get your unsaved people in here. We don't know. The Archon says Paul's parents are amazing. Haha. Love it. And I saw that
Josh Taren, just real quick,
whoa,
thank you so much for your super chat.
Thank you for your generous super
such
chat,
a blessing.
Joshua, wow.
Love the work y'all are doing. Keep it up. Can't wait to see your future project. Woo woo!
Joshua, thank you, bro.
Thank you
and
so
we,
much.
And we can't wait for you to see it either.
We're pumped.
Love it. Someone said that they agree with me. Have to agree with you, Paul, but it's a little hard to take you seriously with the SpongeBob shirt on. I have gotten...
People have said that before.
I got it. How many compliments have I gotten on this shirt? I got a compliment on it on my walk, on my prayer walk
today.
Yep.
In our neighborhood.
people, this causes people to just draw, let their guard down.
I mean, yeah, definitely. No one's going to think that you're going to rob their house.
And when we went and voted, the guy said, it's been a little bit like Squidward in here. The atmosphere has been more Squidward than SpongeBob. And I said, well, SpongeBob's here, baby.
Oh, boy.
Let's see.
We're going to have to wrap this up. I'm tired.
Medina Ruth says, Melissa Helser talks about this well, saying it's not always the devil. Sometimes we're ignoring Jesus refining us. Go Melissa Helsner.
Helsner. Amen. Who's that?
Jonathan David, Melissa Helsner.
Oh.
I think.
Yeah.
I think that's who I'm talking about.
Yep.
Let's see. Christina says, I'm passionate about this because I have seen my own friends get set free from many spiritually oppressive things through deliverance, and it's sad that church is not equipped in this.
You know what I'm curious about?
What?
You see all, this is the only type of deliverance that I've ever witnessed, except for mine, where it's very intense. Like, you go up to the altar, pastor comes down, places his head on your hand on your head. There's music in the background. It's super emotional, hyped up, pumped up, intense. And then people begin to scream or yell or lose control or flail their bodies, and the pastor's yelling back at them and,
right,
you know, demanding you leave the body. And I'm not saying that that stuff isn't real, but that's the only version that I've ever seen. And I wonder if a pastor came up to you, or you came up to the pastor at the end of the service, everyone had left, it was just the two of you, or a couple people in the room, whatever, and you told him what you were struggling with, and he just, like, really calmly just, like, stood, you know, like this, and was like, hey, can we pray? And you say, yeah, and he prays over you just so calmly in this tone. There's no music hyping you up in the background. He's not yelling at you. You're maybe crying because it's legit what he's praying over you, the things that he's saying, it's hitting you, but then, like, it's over. And you walk away. Like, would that have the same effect on some of these people who have been delivered, or delivered, I don't know, from these things that they claim to have been delivered from? Would it have the same effect on them? Because emotionalism is such a huge role in these deliverance events, in these things that I have personally witnessed. For my deliverance, it was just me and four women in a room. It was very calm, very quiet. The prayer was nothing fancy, but, like, man, God did all the powerful work. Like, I felt the weight. I felt like I could breathe. And so I don't know, you know, this is me maybe just rambling, but I just feel like emotionalism plays, like, a huge part in these deliverance things. And then it's like these people get so on fire for God, but then, like, they lose that fire because they start going to a church that isn't so hyped up and blah blah blah, and their quiet time is, like, really quiet, and, like, there's no powerful music in the background, and, like, where's God, where's the presence if there's no powerful music and it's just me sitting here with this old Bible on my lap, like,
old insufficient little Bible.
Don't you say that.
No, I'm kidding. Hopefully no one would ever
think that you're being serious.
Would ever believe that.
But yeah, I mean, but to your point, though, yes, like it's not good enough. It's insufficient. It's not fulfilling them enough because they need that fire, that
you're,
hype.
You're not leading us into talking about The Chosen, are you?
Huh?
The Bible's not filling them enough. Don't, it's too big of a topic right now, babe.
Oh my goodness, so funny.
Too big of a topic. I will say that Christina was saying that my deliverance was not intense but very effective.
Amen. Same, girl.
All right, guys. I mean, I got pretty heavy. Like, that got pretty heavy. But you guys know, last question of the live. I was thinking, Morgan, there would be, like, several, just, like, more questions. Mm-hmm. But that one is such, like, a big question.
It's a big old question.
And, you know, it was something that happened in the last several days. So, it was very relevant to us right now.
Yes.
Lord, please just move in this conversation. What was has already been said, we invite you just completely. We invite you into it. We ask that if we said stuff that was coming from just like our experiences and it was not in line with your word, that you would just convict hearts. As people get in your word, they would see the truth. But if there was stuff that was said that maybe is shaking some people that does align with your word, then we ask that that truth would go forth and it would convict hearts. Let your just your truth go forth in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Last question of the live stream.
Y'all last know question. What it is.
Can't be heavy. Can't be sad. Fun. Quirky. Interesting. What's our last question going to be? Write it in now.
Yeah. Amy, thank you for your super chat. She says, Amy? Morgan, sometimes you do ramble. But that was straight facts. Solid point. God doesn't need the emotional hype to work. Amen.
Right on.
Hey, thank
we're
you,
at,
Amy.
We are at 74 thumbs up. Can we get to, I mean, is it too much to ask? Can we get to 100 thumbs up before we do the last question of the stream?
Really not.
No, let's do it.
Surely it's not too much to ask.
Get it up, guys. Let's get it up to 100 thumbs up, and we'll do the last question of the stream.
Superman says, I don't ever feel that Morgan rambles. Wow. I am honored. Thank you, Superman.
Am I married to a rambler and I've never even known it?
No. I'm a woman of few words, so you better listen when I speak. I'm just kidding. There are women that are far fewer words than me, but...
No, I think, honestly, my voice gets kind of scratchy, so I'm glad that you can...
Yeah. Thanks.
Morgan has been very sweet today.
Aww. You know, I was gonna ask the final question of what is the best lemonade that anyone's ever had, like where did they get it from, because I'm genuinely curious.
Are you literally taking over
no,
the last question of the stream?
But you said State Fair, and I feel like, yeah, that's definitely the best, so don't want to know.
State Fairs. We are at 89 thumbs up. All right, we're close.
That
we're close.
Hurts.
I want it at 100 thumbs up.
Can
before
we just
before
get
we
100
end this.
Thumbs up.
By the way, we are going to be playing our patron roles that we update monthly at the end of these PNM After Dark. So we will play that to close this one out. All right, we got good questions coming in. Here we go. Let me look through them and see which one we want to do.
Yeah.
I will find it, Morgan.
Okay. Amazing.
I almost like tried to take a drink of this, of my microphone. I was like,
Now that is funny.
Let's see.
Who should we have back, you guys, on our next PNM After Dark? Let's see. We've had Caroline, Carl, Jacob
Smith.
Abby, Paul's dad,
Joe.
Is that it so far?
That's it so far.
Yeah, so far that's it. Who should we have on for our next one? I mean, obviously, if they can't come, they can't come. But we'll do our best to get them back. So maybe that should be the last question of the live stream.
Who, my dad? Is that what you said? What? Oh, you're asking like who?
No,
who
just
would
like,
they, like
the last
to
question of the live stream is who do you want to see back on? I'm seeing a good amount of Jacobs. Very nice.
Yeah, I like the Jacob. We might need to let Jacob know. Hey, message Jacob on Instagram, just at Jacob Smith.
Wait, is it that? I thought it was like C.
Oh, it's Chappie J. It's Chappie J05. I think it's Chappie J05.
ChappieJ05.
Go to Instagram, message him, because he was like, Paul, I'm so busy. Like my senior year, you guys, he's a senior in high school. He got held back. He got held back a year.
Wait, he did?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I believe so. Yeah. But he was like, I got so many commitments going on. I was like, bro, I totally get it. But if you guys, if we had a handful of you guys hop over to Instagram, message Chappy J, find his Instagram real quick.
Okay.
And say, we want you back on a PNM After Dark. I think he would come back.
Want you back. Want you back. Want you, want you, want you back.
All right, that's an interesting final question of the stream. That could
Chappy,
be good. Chappy,
yeah, it's Chappy, like C, Happy, J, 05. Everyone go send him a message if that's the person that you voted for. But if it's not, then don't do it. And just write who you want to come back on.
All right, Morgan.
All right, we're at 90 thumbs up. We'll just have to do with that, I guess, because you all are truly letting us.
Oh, no. I believe we're going to hit 100 thumbs up as this question comes to a close. Morgan, I'm kind of leaning towards this question. Tell me what you think about this question right here.
Okay.
Right. Okay, it's between these two. It's between this one.
Okay.
Or this one.
Closing.
All right, our final question of the live stream. I want you guys to write in what you think. Morgan, pull it up. The final question is from Stephanie Kemper, who asks, a style of clothing that should go away forever. And if anyone, if any of you says this shirt, the stream, we're shutting this stream down.
That's hilarious.
If anyone says my SpongeBob shirt, we're shutting this stream down.
I don't know if I can find it, but wait, maybe it's like up here. Okay, yeah, there we go. A style of clothing that should go away forever.
I mean, I have like two that come to mind very quickly that might offend some people, but I want to hear yours first, Morgan.
Big baggy jeans.
Oh, you are thinking of Stephen Furtick.
Yeah, I am. Those things should be burned.
It was pretty bad, burned, you guys. It was pretty bad. It was pretty bad.
It did him no favors.
It did him, that's the thing, is it did him no favors. It did him no favors.
And it was so distracting.
It was like the NSYNC.
How baggy they were. It was so distracting.
It was like Justin Timberlake's jeans from 1998.
That and low-rise jeans. Like, why do they exist? And stop it, you stinking Gen Zers who are trying to bring them back. Stop. Like, you'll regret it in 10 years. You'll look back and be like, what the heck was I thinking? Why did I wear those?
Morgan, I'm going to read what people are saying, but how do you feel about Gen Z fashion overall? Because I'm not so sure about it.
I think it's lazy and weird as heck.
We're talking about, like, the fashionable ones.
Yeah. That's the worst of them.
Dang.
It's just like, what can I get that's really mismatchy-matching weird? I don't know. Maybe I'm just in a sassy mood right now.
You are coming across pretty sassy. I wasn't going to say it's that bad, but I'm not the biggest fan.
It's not great.
Of a lot of Gen Z fashion. All right, let me read what they say, and then I'm going to bring it home with my objectively true take on this.
Oh,
Mark Moore says... Where did Mark Morris? Low-rise jeans, Allie B. Stuckey. Apparently, Allie B.
Stuckey. She agrees with me that they should go bye-bye.
Let's see. Short shirts.
Like Nova crop tops? Says.
Low-rise jeans. I love me crop tops and short shorts.
I love me crop tops.
Baggy, baggy cargo pants. Cargo pants are risky.
Ooh.
And when you baggy them, like there is such a thing as a fitted cargo pant that looks pretty nice. Mm-hmm. But when you go baggy on them, oof.
Like I'm not against all baggy or like looser pants. I'm not against that. But, oh, those pants Stephen Furtick was that's the picture.
Can we pull up the Furtick outfit? Can we find that?
I don't know. How the heck would we find that?
Well, I mean, we could just go back to like, I can just show it to the camera.
Amy says Crocs. Yeah, I don't get
Crocs
it.
Crocs are back in. Crocs are in big. Like, I'm seeing Crocs all over.
And it's just weird to me. I didn't get it when they first came out. I don't get it now. Okay? Your feet look ginormous. They look like something out of a fairy tale. Like you've got ogre feet.
All right, here's Stephen Furtick from Sunday. I'm not showing you this. We're just talking about fashion, all right? I'm just showing
just
you his outfit.
Zoom in on the jeans, you know? I feel like that doesn't even look that bad. Like, you guys aren't going to truly understand it. Until
you probably aren't going to be able to truly get the effects of it, but hopefully you could see that well enough. It was pretty rough, you guys.
The jeans, like, rolled. Like, woof, woof,
Medina says, Medina says sagging. Baggy cargo pants, puffy sleeves, jeans with holes. Jeans with holes really have gone out. They were huge when I was in high school.
I have like 3 pairs.
Oops.
Time to go shopping.
Well, I was just about to say, I don't dislike jeans with holes, personally.
It just depends.
I think they're kind of cool.
Yeah, it just depends. Like, if they're insane, then no.
Not like jeans like with holes really high up in the thigh, right. But you place holes in the right place, it looks cool to me, personally. Sorry, Paul, I won't say it, but I am about to hit that. I am about to hit that end. We got 98 thumbs up. Let's get it to stinking 100.
Come on.
Men wearing tight, short jeans with no socks. I mean, I'm picturing the worship leaders with tight, short jeans with like the sandals or kind of like those.
Oh, no, that's terrible.
The boat shoes with like the tight jeans.
Yeah. That's creepy.
Crocs, leggings as pants, low-rise jeans, Paul's shirt. Okay. She's Moonlight, had to say it.
Men one wearing more, guys. One more thumbs up.
Men wearing short shorts. I do like me some short shorts. Just not like insanely short.
Oh, yay, we hit 103.
Guys, well done. Thank you, guys. I knew you had it in you.
Let me just say, if you guys become a patron and you watch our video that we share, that we will only share with our patrons.
You're not about to say what I think
you're
about.
No, just...
The part when we're up in our bedroom.
Let me tell you.
I said you're
missing out.
I
okay,
said,
I'll just tell you, you're missing out.
I said, Morgan, I don't know about leaving this in. It's too intimate. And she said, definitely, she was like, leave it in.
If y'all want to see some of Paul's personal clothing attire.
I can't believe Caroline just felt comfortable enough to come up and shoot that.
She touched it.
Wait, what?
She touched him too. She goes, Matt's
this. That, honestly, that's inappropriate. That's inappropriate.
Oh my goodness. So yeah, you should become a patron just so you can watch that, because it's well worth your time and money.
I was gonna say, you guys, mine was gonna be, I've said it before and I know the Archon would agree with me. The Archon is saying that Crocs are horrible. Yeah. I think what is more horrible than Crocs are just the classic Uggs.
That's interesting, because they're also super popular.
I saw a girl wearing them. And I thought to myself, those aren't as bad, because it was a slightly revised version.
The heeled version?
I can't remember, but it wasn't like that classic one that we saw like in high school.
Yeah. Because like, yeah, there's a ton of like revisions done to them.
Yeah.
And the ones that are like really popular right now are like the low rise, like slip on ones, I think. And they've got like stitching around them. Here, I don't know what their name is called, but then my sister-in-law, she came in wearing Uggs, and she was wearing ones that were like tall.
Those were kind of cool.
They were kind of cool,
but just the classic Uggs.
Mind those.
Oh, get those away from me.
Yeah,
talking
not,
about, yeah.
Not great. I know everyone's like, they're tall, comfy. They say that about the Crocs too. I'm like, comfort does not always matter. Beauty is pain, my friends.
I was going to say, I'll go ahead and say it too. When middle-aged women cut their hair, I'm not saying short. I think some women can pull off a shortcut, but when it's like a really shortcut, oh man, come on, ladies. That might be mean, because I know that there are different conditions and stuff that I don't mean to like sound super insensitive, but there is a very real thing of a lady that's got a, you know,
she's tired of it.
Decides
like,
to cut it.
50, I'm done.
And it's like, please, like, let that grow out a little bit, please.
All right, guys, we love y'all. Hope you enjoyed hanging out with us on this PNM After Dark. Give this a thumbs up. Go comment in the actual comment section when we're done about your favorite part of this podcast.
Please
episode.
Do. Please, like, we're about to end this. Jump off. Comment. Let's get those comments started in the main section. I'll be responding to some tonight. Love to hear your thoughts on either the Kat Von D situation or the Stephen Furtick Elevation situation.
Yes, and we'll do our best to bring back the most requested guest.
Go message stinking Chappy J.
Chappy J 05. All right. Love y'all.
Thanks for hanging, guys. We'll catch you again very soon. Have hope.
Oh, wait, I gotta make sure I play the reel.
Have hope.
And be free.
Hey guys, as you may have noticed, we get very few brand deals. A big reason for that is because we make unashamedly Christian content.
We've had brand deals taken away from us because people who don't like us reach out to them and demand that they cancel us.
Due to the fact that we stand on what the Bible says and we don't conform to culture.
Which is why our patrons, the names you see here, are so important.
You guys really are the lifeblood of this ministry. We could not do it without you all.
If you guys believe in this content and you want to partner with us on Patreon, go to patreon.com/PaulandMorganShow or click the link in the description.
Go team. That was the one.